We rolling. Last episode of season 3. Gang, motherfuckers.
3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Learn Videography, a podcast dedicated to mastering the art and business of becoming a full-time videographer. Presented by Industry Jump. Hosted by director Kyle Loftus and producer JJ Englert. Let's go.
Welcome back to Learn Videography, your podcast to learn everything you need to know about becoming a full-time videographer. As always, I'm your host, JJ Englert, here with my co-host, Kyle Loftus. Tonight, guys, ladies and gentlemen, is our last episode of season 3, and we're going to be going down with a banger. We're going to be covering our top 10 snippets or social bites from this last season, talk about them in detail, why we love them. And just generally leave you guys with some nuggets while we think about what we're going to do next with Learn Videography. So before we get started, Kyle, how are you, man?
I'm good. Yeah, just to touch on that, guys, this is where the reviews and the feedback comes in so important. We're kind of looking at next steps for the podcast and how we can bring you guys the most value and have a lot of fun with you guys as well. So as much feedback as you guys can provide, we really appreciate it. But I'm doing great, JJ. Little tired, as we mentioned, but excited to crank this last episode out for everyone. Just really excited with everything going on. Been really building out the back end of my business here. And it's a lot of extra work right now where I'm not necessarily seeing the money or results from per se. But, you know, I know what it's providing and doing for my business. So it's a very internal satisfaction we're having right now. How about yourself? Awesome.
Good for you. Yeah, I'm doing good.
Hey, baby.
My wife is ready to have a baby literally any second. She's in another room breathing deep. So I'm hoping to make it through this podcast, all right? That's another reason why it is the last episode for this season, because we're going to have another baby ASAP. But in addition to that, things have been popping on Jump Studios this week. Tons of people have been getting in there, sending hella links, inviting team members to the projects. And I know, like, I sent a video to a client last week and I never heard back from them. And then all of a sudden I got like a message in my email saying, hey, they watched the video, and then they responded. And it's just like so nice to have those little things, like, you know, you're out of sight, out of mind. And all of a sudden, as soon as it happens, boom, you're informed because Jump Studios got you covered, bro. No doubt.
Actually, it could be interesting to send personal update messages to yourself as well. Maybe we could look at that as an option. But I did have an interesting moment like that as well, just on the platform. What I thought was really cool, I didn't even think about as a feature, but now I consider a feature, is like seeing that the contract is pending. So, you know, before I didn't realize it was a feature, but now seeing it, I treat it as a feature, you know. So like looking at the contracts, you see when it's pending or when it's signed.
Yeah.
And so I actually had a contract on a project. I honestly, like, we've got another 3 weeks until production, so I just totally forgot about it. But they didn't sign it yet. You know, they didn't actually sign it. It's still pending. Yeah. So I was like, oh, wow. Like, I need to remind them to sign this contract. So it was like a good reminder for me as well.
You know what we got to do, Kyle? We got to automate that shit. If they don't send it, when you create a contract, we should make it so you set an auto reminder. Say, if they don't sign it within the next whatever days you insert, we send them an automated email to follow up to get them to send. And same thing with like an email link, when a review link, if we send them a review link and they don't watch it within 3 or 4 or whatever days you specify, we should send them a follow-up link to remind them automatically.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be awesome.
Do that. We could do that.
A little brainstorm slash.
Look at us. All right. So it's exciting, guys. We got a lot going on. We want to hear from you, though. Again, we're at a crossroads here with Learn Videography. We got some great stuff going. We got 600, 700, 800 people that listen to us on a weekly basis, and we really appreciate all of you from all over the world. But Kyle and I, we also feel like, shoot, we've talked so much about videography. What more can we talk about videography? We did 3 seasons. We've had like 15 to 20 episodes a season. Each episode is like 40 to an hour
some
long.
Some of the best guests in the industry.
That's like, you know, 60 hours of content with the best of the best on videography and building businesses and whatnot. And we love it. We could talk about it forever, but we want to make sure we're delivering value to all of you guys. And maybe what is that next step for us all? Let us know. Leave us reviews. Drop us comments. encourage us to keep going in ways that, you know, and to help you in other ways and stuff. So I'm super excited about tonight. We did this last season too, where we bring up some of our favorite episodes or snippets from the season, go over it, talk about it, brainstorm it. Great for those that haven't checked every episode, because we'll hit on some of the best episodes or best parts of the season. So if you haven't checked every episode, which you should, and just go, you know, rewatch it all, we will be covering and summarizing a lot tonight. So without further ado, let's get started with our very, very first one. Brennan Chu talking about leveraging previous success with productizing your services.
You spend $2,000 with me. I already have this plan that's worked for other companies. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get you 30 reels of short form content that we're going to film in 3 hours and cut it up with B-roll. And you can use it to run ads and as well as have a splash video for your website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Boom. Hey, that, you've now productized a, you know, $2,000-$5,000 offering, and the more consistent you've been able to produce it, the more you can potentially sell it for, and the more reputation and the more momentum you're going to gain.
So Brennan there was talking. Brennan runs a very successful real estate production company. They do like $5 to $6 million a year in revenue, and he was talking about productizing your services. And in his industry, it's a little bit easier in terms of real estate because it's you know, you have a listing. It's like a 5-bedroom house listing, 2,000 square feet. It costs this much money to do a Matterport, a overview, photos, a website, like a little bit easier to productize it. But he's also saying like the ability of being able to leverage that, if you can get to that point, is amazing. And we could find other ways to do that in other industries, like music video industries, where it's like, we'll give you a music video and then we'll give you 5 reels,
trailers,
behind the set photos, and take that original $5,000 budget, pump it up to $7,500. And instead of delivering one asset, you may be delivering 15, and then they could really, you know, push that forward. And so I know a lot of creators are already doing this because we've been talking to a lot. This has been the plan, right? But if you're not doing it, I definitely recommend that you get on doing it as well. And I think the big thing here is like when you're cutting up these trailers, these snippets, these social teasers, like you got to know what works and it's working, right? And so if you could also get insights into, you know, or follow what your clients are doing and pushing and trying to check their views and engagements and see which ones are working well for them and continue on those trends, because again, everything is results, right? And if you give your clients like 10 little snippets and they all blow it out of the water, they're going to be coming back real soon saying, yo, Kyle, I need more snippets.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, for me, the area that it really clicks with, I mean, yes, productizing, that's super important. But I think it's like also like just being aware, cognizant of what the world's craving right now, which is short form content. And that's something I've recently been talking about with my team. And something we're really trying to explore a lot more now is providing those kind of assets to our clientele, exploring that more so and be that teasers, and then behind the scenes content. Haven't really found other ways to turn the clientele, the content we're shooting and distributing into other forms, but those are like the main additional forms, we're trying to create. So those are the other additional forms that, you know, we're personally trying to create. But I think it's just, you know, again, the important thing to me, at least, is being adaptable, right? You know, so adjusting to the marketplace and what people want and need. And social media is kind of, you know, at least a major part of businesses in their marketplace. So being able to provide those short form assets, I think, is a huge advantage to your business, as opposed to a lot of other people who might be running a video production company, or might just being, you know, a solo videographer, and all they're providing is the music video, or maybe the music video and a 2-minute BTS video. Well, if you can provide, you know, 10 to 15 second videos, that's going to be really, really great for your clientele. Not to get specifics into, you know, Instagram and TikTok, but, you know, those 15 second or less videos are really being pushed right now. So if you can utilize that and get that kind of content for your client, I think you're going to get a lot better opportunity to get them better results as well, which, as JJ mentioned, will get them coming back.
Guys, we got a new season-long sponsor. And Kyle, who is it?
Riverside, baby.
Let's go. The same platform we use to record Learn Videography. It's beautiful. The leading podcast platform for video and podcast recording. So many major podcast hosts like Guy Raj from NPR, Gary V, and so many others use Riverside FM to record their podcast. And you can do that too in the new year. If you're getting started with your own podcast, go to riverside.fm. Check them out. You won't regret it. It's loaded with features, super reliable, and it's just the best in the business. So if you're going to start a podcast, go to riverside.fm and you won't regret it. Now let's get back to the episode. Yeah. I want to follow this up with Gordon Lee. We had him on the episode. He is an e-commerce production company specializing in e-commerce niche. He follows this up really well. So let's check out what Gordon says.
A branding photo session for like an entrepreneur. The package might include a 1 hour session, one location, three outfits, and let's say 30 retouched images. Like, all right, now we're at the end of that. And I delivered the, you know, photo gallery and I have, let's say 50 retouched images. I could let them know, go ahead and select your 30 images and I'd be happy to deliver that. Or you could have the full gallery in exchange for, you know, a 5-star testimonial, or 5-star Google review. Just sharing your experience working with us. Like, oh, I would want all those images in return. Yeah, I would love to leave you a review.
Awesome.
I love that approach, yeah. Man. Yeah, my wife.
And you only do that with people you know you crushed it for. You don't bring up for someone you fucked up with.
I mean, you heard our reactions right then and there. We love that approach.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what else to say? I mean, it's genius. It's a really smart way. I mean, again, it shouldn't be too hard to get a review from your client if you really did a great job for them, but people are busy. People are busy, and it is an extra step and something people consider going out of their way. And even if you just don't time it right, you know, if you do a project with the client, but you ask for the review 2 weeks later, they're much less likely to give that review than if you're doing it like immediately after a project when that kind of, they still got that surreal feeling, that high, that user high from just kind of being on set all day and having that fun experience. But yeah, if you can incentivize that even more, providing them additional assets, that's huge.
Yeah. I mean, it's really a no-brainer. I mean, reviews help us get more work, right? And we have all of these photos already and or assets that we're not going to do anything with it, right? Like we could just take an extra 20, 30 minutes, 60 minutes of our time to just prepare these for the client and just say, hey, and this is only if they agree to the testimonial, right? Hey, I'll get you these if you give me a 5-star review, right? And or you introduce me to someone. And or you help me take the next step with my business, I will also help you in return. And it's mutually beneficial. It's not too much overreaching. They could easily say no, all good, right? Like, I feel like we should always be doing this with every client, every single time. And if they've already left you a review, ask them for an introduction. If they've already left you a review and introduction, ask them for something else. You know, like, keep on asking because there's so much that we could do to continue to go forward. And so, I love what Gordon was doing there. Super stoked to have him on the pod. Now let's bring it over to Marius. Marius talks about finding the right partner with you and your business and how important that is. Here we go, Marius.
People were literally laughing at us when it came to insurance. And thankfully, you know, I think Brent was able to get in touch with Athos Insurance, which Athos Insurance is an insurance broker in Los Angeles. And they specifically focus on production equipment, and they were actually just starting off. So they were a fairly young company at the time as well. And, you know, Kat and Eileen who run the company there were super like forward looking and really understood, you know, the business because they've been in the business for a long time, but then were, you know, open to the idea, open to trying something new. So we met with them, we explained what we were trying to do, and they were not dismissive right away. They were like open to the idea of learning more, which is all it took.
So that was Marius. He is the co-founder of ShareGrid, who recently sold ShareGrid to Backstage. Very successful CEO. He was talking about in the early stages of ShareGrid, he had promised to his customers the idea of insurance. And then he was going around town trying to find insurance for his company so he could rent out anybody that rented his gear on ShareGrid could get insurance through it, right? And everyone laughed him out of town until they found at those insurance. And then they built this partnership together and they're still working together. And it's been a very successful partnership, right? And just that kind of undertones so much of like us as in, you know, like mostly we're solo entrepreneurs, videographers, and then we occasionally find that partner that we partner up with, right? And it's hard to find that partner. Some people might find them just right away because that's who they got started with. And then other people seek that partner. And there is huge value in having that partner if you can make it happen. But it really needs to be done with the right intentions. Both of you need to be seen eye to eye. You need to have honesty and transparency. Yeah. You need to have common goals, right? Common investment. And if so, you know, you two could make something really special. But if not, it could be almost like a conflicting point. Like, I don't want to take this too much on the other side, but one of the creators in our industry, Jump Network, he had a really good portfolio. He had a two-person production company and they were doing really good stuff. And then all of a sudden they split one day and their company split. And like that also meant like their portfolio split and their client split. And it was almost like a divorce, right? Like it got pretty ugly and he essentially had to restart his whole, a new company, new branding, new portfolio. And it was a really big step back, right? And so they had a really good thing going. They were ahead of the game and then they broke up and then they all kind of went back to stage one. And so it's just things like that we need to think about when finding partners of, you know, the possible consequences of such. And if we rush into those relationships, what could happen? But also if you leverage them and you position them the right way for both of you to find success, you can normally get to where you're going much faster.
Yeah. It's a very difficult thing, you know, finding the right partner, finding the right dynamic, because there's a lot of things you kind of have to really pay attention to, right? Like you have to have good chemistry, your values have to align, you have to have a very similar, if not almost the same vision. Well, I would say for the particular product or business or whatever you're trying to do, you need to really align there. So when it comes to, you know, your mutual business and the goals there, you need to be like spot on aligned. And then even more so, like even like your personal / career goals, like outside, like what I want to do as a director, what JJ wants to do, you know, those somewhat have to align as well. You know, if you're going to continue to have like a fruitful partnership together, right? Because like if one partner, for instance, is, you know, planning to settle down and you're trying to start up a video production company and you want to take over the world with this production company and do all the biggest music videos all over the planet, from K-pop to hip hop to, you know, electronic funk or what have you, like you probably can't make that work with a business partner that's trying to settle down and have a family. So again, you need to really make sure the things align. So, but you know, to get more on the positive note, if you can find someone that you really align with, as you mentioned, JJ, I mean, I think you get everywhere so much faster. You learn from your mistakes quicker. You avoid a lot of mistakes. You're able to really complement each other. So if you can find find someone who's better at things that you're not good at, vice versa, you're really able to complement each other and really create a fruitful relationship. There's just so many benefits to having a partnership. Highly encourage it. But again, as you mentioned, like not necessarily like walking on eggshells, but like take your time. Don't be so quick to jump into it. Like there's ways you can test the water. You can work on productions together. You can collaborate on a passion project. You can do other things where you're not investing or risking so much, like a giant client or something like that.
100%. Let's follow this up with you, our very own Kyle Loftus, talking about what kind of businesses you are and what you want to build. Whoa.
Let's go. Are you someone who finds yourself more of a creative when it comes to being a creative business owner, or more of that business owner? You know, like, are you more of an analytical person, or, you know, are you kind of more free flow? Like understanding what suits you better, you know, because if you find that you're really, your passion area isn't as much the creative aspect, but the business aspect, you know, building the brand, scaling it, talking with clients, doing things like that, then, you know, the real estate might be a really, really great area for you to go in. Again, JJ, as you mentioned, you know, I mean, like, again, similar to weddings, you know, ease of entry, getting in there, word of mouth, things can move fast. And it's a really, really great business model to scale. As you mentioned, you know, so if you want to make a lot of money, you know, it can be a really, really great option for you as well.
Oof, we've come a long way this season. That was a pretty shoddy green screen we had there going. Oh man, but what kind of business do you want to do, right? Like we're following this up in the sense of like, do you want to find a partner? And then if so, or if not, what is the next step is also, or it, the same step is what business do you want to do? What industry do you want to be in? What kind of business do you want to build, right? Like we need to know what this is because this kind of influences every decision we make, right? Like how are we building this, you know, and are we productizing this and how are we growing this and what are our revenue goals and, you know, how much gear do we need? All this kind of stuff goes into what kind of a business you want to do and the lifestyle you want to have. And if you're just chasing gig to gig and you're just like letting an autopilot, just trying to film this, get it off. And you're not really putting plans into action. You're not really building a future. You're living in the present. You're hamster wheeling it and you're not really taking big steps forward. You're just make it do, right? Yeah. And it's really easy to get into that cycle of just make it do because you need rent and they call in and you don't got much time because you're doing it all and you just keep going. And then all of a sudden you turn into a place or a company where you have a portfolio full of hodgepodge that you don't even know about or like, you know, that's not what you're proud of. And it's all different sort of stuff. And it's just like event videos and wedding videos. And then, you know, whatever, right? And it's like, I don't even know what to use this with a client or how to leverage this, right? And I just work 6 months, a year, 2 years, and I don't feel like I have anything to show for, right? And so you need to pull back. Whenever we're thinking about business, we're starting businesses, we got to have a business plan. We got to know where we're going, our goals to get in play, the goals to achieve. And it's imperative.
Yeah. And it's okay to not know at first. You know, I think you can start your business and you can experiment and you can take every possible project there is. I encourage it. You know, it's just like I was just doing a project with I can't mention that.
You're too official.
Anyways. I was recently just doing a project and we were interviewing this individual and he mentioned something really, really, really cool. He's a professional athlete. I just can't mention his name right now until the project is approved. But he talked about how he encourages everyone who's interested in being a professional athlete, whether that is in football or baseball, whatever have you, like try as many sports as possible. Like don't just jump in and commit to one sport, like build yourself, get well-rounded, understand what you're really good at, where you really have a lot of strengths rather than just committing to something right away. And so I think you can look at videography and video production and filmmaking like that as well. You know, get in there, get in the trenches, get in the mud, experiment, find what you're good at, find what you really like, find where you can complement in the industry, and then start really niching yourself down and focusing there. But at some point, like JJ mentioned, like you can't just keep experimenting doing everything if you want to really grow and build a successful business and scale it. You have to take a step back and figure out what the plan is, where you really want to go, and then create actionable steps you can take to reach and meet that goal you have for your future. It's really, really key. And then also, I just want to throw this in there, random value add that came to mind. I'm reading this great book on Audible called Working the System. You got to check it out, JJ. I'm loving it. My buddy Diraj hooked me up with it. But a part in there it really talks about is like a big time reason why we often feel like unhappy or have a bunch of anxiety really relates to the systems we have. So like the more, it's kind of what JJ was mentioning earlier, the more structure you can kind of have and the more organization you can build into your business. And that goes all the way down to knowing exactly what you want for your future, what your niche is, who your target audience is. The more clarity you're going to have, the easier everything is going to be. And the more enjoyable the entire process is going to be. You're just creating more problems for yourself when you don't have a sense of direction.
Yeah. And if you have that system in place, that means you can onboard more people to help you with the company. And you can also step away from it and you could turn it into something you could sell. And that's what I want to go into next with Ryan Snod, who talks about selling your company. So you're talking about, you know, positioning your company so you can get an acquisition, so you can sell it, right? Which is also that next level thinking of like, hey, you know, like, are we going to do this until we're 60 to 70? Like, if I'm going to spend 30 years, 20 years building it, like, what can I get out of it at the end? Like, what is this asset, right? And like, I think that's the mindset that we all need to have, in the sense of like, yes, we are making a certain amount of money each year, and we have revenue goals, we have team goals, but also what's the end goal? You know, like, where do I want to get to the end? What kind of company would buy me? And what kind of company would, and if for that company, what kind of portfolio are they looking for? What kind of value are they looking for? And start stacking that year one, year two, year three. So year 10 comes around, you're ripe for an acquisition. It makes sense. And then you could put 10 years of hard work and money that you've made to even, you know, even more money. Shit, I stole the show. That wasn't even Ryan. That was me talking the whole time. Dang. Sorry about that, Ryan. Thought that was you coming up. But that's truth, bro. That is truth right there. I mean, listen, we're putting blood, sweat, and tears into this business, right? Like, we don't, when we don't want to do it anymore, or when we get old, or like, we need something that we can cash out on, right? And like, if your business is you and your clients only know you and you have no systems in place and you got nothing to like hand off to someone else, like, you can't sell your company, right? Like, you're doing yourself a disservice, right? And Kyle, in one of the episodes, you talked about that you were approached to buy someone to buy your company too. And you kind of learned what you needed to do to put systems and stuff in place in order to actually get your company to be able to sell it. Talk us through it.
So I can't remember what episode that was on, but we talked a little bit. If you remember, feel free to interject.
Maybe like halfway through or something like that.
We just talked about how I was approached for someone that was interested in buying out my company, but then upon having the conversation a bit deeper, you know, they learned I was too pivotal of a piece to the puzzle, if you will. You know, like, if I just dropped dead or decided to leave the company, like, Cal Visuals would disappear. The company couldn't exist. So a big part of it for me this year is taking more of a risk, hiring even more people. I don't necessarily have employees, just to clarify. I'm just contracting out, but, you know, I'm paying them on a weekly basis to do tasks for me. So, you know, putting more tasks out. I've been utilizing Jump Studios and Notion to really kind of master and build out full systems and procedures and processes for my business, recording, you know, tutorials, creating templates, scripts for calls, procedures for publishing and releasing content on the website, the blog, giving it to clients, production procedures, how to kind of get relative references for rates, all this kind of stuff. You know, before I knew it myself, or I had it in my notes or here or there, but now it's all going to like one or two essentially unified places right here, in Notion and Jump Studios. And so I'm really able to operate and fully function my business from there. And the exciting part, I really believe this, in like the next probably year or two, I will kind of have a business to the point where, like, if I do want to step away for 2 months and just go on vacation, like, I don't even have to hop on the emails or anything. You know, someone else can kind of handle and all that for me. Right now I'm in a good place where I can take steps back, but I'm still a big part of the conversation when it comes to the production, you know, what does the actual creative look like? How are we making the logistics happen? Still a big part of the finance. So it's a working process. You know, I've got an editor, I've got a content producer and manager, and then I've got, you know, a creative producer and kind of project manager. So they're kind of helping me out, bro, again, in Notion and Jump Studios, as well as with email that's and awesome stuff as well. That's kind of where I stand right now. And I would just add, I guess my thoughts are, it feels super worth it. I have a lot more clarity, a lot more direction. Don't necessarily have a lot more free time right now, because again, I'm building out so much of these systems, but again, that's with the goal in mind that down the road, that it's through these systems and processes that I'm really able to liberate myself, if you will.
That's really exciting, man. I'm proud for you. I remember when we started this pod a couple of years ago, it was just you. Like,
yeah.
Just you hustling, right? And like, you have been hustling for a long time, and it's cool to see you like building a bigger thing now, a bigger business, bigger than yourself, systems in place. And it's exciting because you could do a lot with it. And I know you're making an investment, time and money right now to put that, and you got to have faith in yourself, but you're also not like going all in on it. It's just like, this is what I've done over the years. I know what I'm doing. This is what's worked for me and my business. So let's get other people to help me do this at a bigger scale so we can bring in more money cumulatively and build a bigger asset together,
Yeah.
Dope. Well, let's bring it back to another clip that you start in, talking about making proposals and systematizing your business.
First key indicator I need to make a proposal is, one, it's just like a super recognizable big name brand. So for instance, you know, like I did past commercial work with Timberland. So obviously, like, I'm going to send Timberland like a proposal. I'm not just going to say like, here, it's $3,000 and it's because it's for video and editing, like, and just say that, you know, I'm going to give them more information. So high ticket client or like a big name or brand. And then I think another indicator for me is if it's something more along the lines of a full campaign. So it might require a long-term relationship or a lot of work, or outside of just a commercial campaign. You know, again, if it's someone that is looking to have a retainer relationship or a long-term relationship, that lends me more to dedicate more time to building out, again, a thorough proposal.
They were talking about proposals, when to actually do proposal particularly, and just generally saying like, hey, as soon as you get a legit client, an official client, a good budget, probably time to do a proposal. Like if you're doing something for your friend, $340, probably don't need a proposal, right? But if you're pitching a client, if the budget is, you know, worth it in that sense, really take that next step to make it professional, to make it professional, and to, you know, give them that experience of, you know, professionalism start to finish. But also, proposals are also a chance to upsell too. It's like, hey, here's my high, medium, and lows, right? Like, how does this look to you? And how can we turn this into something bigger? And so it's not something you just want to gloss over and say, oh, you want 500? Okay, here's a video for 500. Like, you want 500? Sure. But if we did this, we could maybe do this, and maybe we could all get a better product together. And so don't just skip over that process. It's an important part of the process, is to talk about the proposal and talk about what we could do together and talk about how we can make this really special and talk about how we can get them more results and also make more money, right? And so don't skip it. Lean into it. Make it part of your process. Systematize it. And make it happen.
Yeah. I would totally agree. I think immediately I think of two episodes of this season for you guys to check out if you haven't already. Our last episode with Tyler, and then our episode with Ryan Snott as well. I'm not sure what number that was, but this season we both talk and hit on that subject matter. And I think there's some really, really great content in there. You know, with Tyler, I think, you know, he's on a great track already, you know, talking about how they're really focusing in on singular brands, giving them all their time and attention, and really developing built out proposals and mood boards, and just really creating like brand campaigns and a full on idea. Like they're really selling them on not just the idea, but their interest in the brand and the company, you know. And I think that's a big part of it, like showing like you're genuinely interested and committed to them. When you build out these treatments and do all these things ahead of the paycheck, like that really shows a client or potential client, like, hey, I want to make this happen. Like, let's work together. I'm very interested in you. And Ryan Snod, you know, I think he does a great job of kind of the upsell, as well as, you know, pushing to get the retainer packages. He does a fantastic job with that, and talks a lot about that in the podcast. So I highly encourage you guys checking that out. And then just another additional value add, I think when it comes to the proposals, again, you know, building out, again, this is where the system is. Like, you do it once, you can have a templated proposal there, and then you just go in and you supplement and change some images, have to change some wording per client. Yeah, but like now you have a built out proposal that you can use, that you can systemize into your process. And now it's a lot easier, but you're able to come across a lot more professional and have just an overall a lot more professional and streamlined, you know, process for your clientele.
100%. Let's move into a clip where I'm talking about my favorite part of producing.
Let's go.
My favorite part of producing is actually bringing something to life, in the sense that you receive a script and then you literally make everything happen in order to bring that script to life. Like, you put everything in place to do that, right? From drawing up the budget, hiring everybody, right? The worst part of it is you're responsible for bringing that entire thing to life. Right. And so if it doesn't go right, or, you know, someone doesn't show up, or, you know, whatever, like it all comes back to you. And I just can't tell you how many like nights before shoot, like I just don't sleep or didn't sleep. And like, oh, I'll get a text at midnight. Like, did you forget this? Or did you remember this? Or this just fell through. What are we going to do? Yeah. Like all these last minute things. And it's like, bro, I'm just trying to sleep. Like I got to get up in 4 hours. Just let me sleep, bro. You know? So like that's what I hate most about producing is that anxiety of that last minute. What did you forget?
Thing. You know what it is for me?
Yo, I need,
sorry to interrupt, I need real sleep, quick,
bro.
For real. For me, it's like, it's the day of. Like this is where I'm glad to like have help more so specifically like this specific moment is the day of like 10 to 15 minutes before and like right on call time and 10 minutes after there's always like 10 or 15 calls you're getting or texts like just for whatever reason like some people are not able to read the call sheet or like they just don't know where to park like
by parking
or, yeah like there's just so many so random parking. Things like wait Kyle sorry like they don't have chocolate chip cookies today they only have sugar like can I get the sugar yeah. cookies like I'm just like oh my gosh you know so it's yeah man that's what my thoughts yeah, on that
producing is really fun and owning a production company and bringing these ideas to life is really fun because you have so much freedom right
yeah.
but it also comes with a lot of stress and one of the tips that I gave in that episode was early in my careers, I would usually be the one handling pickup days. So like the day before production, we'd pick up all the equipment and we'd do everything. And I would be the one flipping everything onto the trucks and driving trucks and everything. Like I couldn't afford to pay someone to do that for me, right? But during that time as the producer, I was also getting hella calls and just doing all this stuff. And I was crazy, right? And eventually I got to the point where I was like, I don't care. If I'm going to make less money on this, I need to make sure that I am totally free the day before production. I have nothing on my plate unless the director needs something very specific, right? Or the client. But I have nothing on my plate because I know everything is going to pop up in that day. And if I have nothing on my plate, that means I have time to take care of everything that pops up and just prepare and to take a breath before it all happens and to, you know, really organize myself going into production. And man, that was like the best thing I could have ever done for myself, you know, like, yeah. because going into pre-production and, you know, like, I'm not just talking about like a 1 day shoot. I'm talking normally just like, I was doing a lot of like 3 day shoots to like 3 week shoots with small indie features. Right. And, you know, and you have, you know, a month or two of pre-pro sometimes less. And it's like that day before production, everything comes to, you know, the suspense is all there and all the nerves are ready. It's just like, you got to get yourself ready. Personally, you like clean up your plate, be prepared to take everything that comes at you. And if nothing comes at you, just, you know, organize yourself, take it in, and get ready for the next day. So, producing is fantastic. Just learn how to, you know, manage it all and to distribute all of the things that you need to do and prepare yourself ahead of time. So you're just not waiting for the last day and doing it all then. And then it turns into a nightmare because you didn't prepare well enough. Right. So. That's all produced about. So let's move into Josiah, where he talks about overthinking things.
I think sometimes I've overthought things in the past too, where I have kind of been like, oh, this is like a feature idea, or this is like a 10 minute short story idea or something like that, you know, and it's too grand. It's too much to get off the ground because even if you're trying to do like a 2-3-4 minute long short film, it gets really expensive really fast and you're pulling on a lot of favors from friends and all this kind of stuff. And I've found sometimes a sweet spot is even just, what can I achieve that just can make some cool little 30-second or minute long loop, something that can work well on social media that like can still kind of scratch that itch a little bit, you know? And so I try to set myself kind of reasonable goals because it's not reasonable to be like, hey, I need to do paid work because I need to get paid. And also I'm going to shoot, you know, 2 short films, you know, a week or something. It's like, it's an impossible task. So I'm trying to be reasonable, but I think that the payoff has been tremendous because, you know, that's the stuff that people take the most note of. And and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, Josiah was talking about how he regularly puts out spec work and he regularly puts out projects that he wants to do and that he's really passionate about. And he even talked about like that's kind of his biggest source of getting work because people see that those projects from him and they're like, I want that, right? And I think that's just because like when you're doing something that you're so passionate about and that you really want to do a good job, like you just crush it, right? And that passion, it goes into your video and it bleeds through. And so it's like, even though you're not getting paid for that stuff, and he was talking about, you know, managing expectations, making them shorter and so you could, you know, do more with less and all that kind of stuff. But even though you're not getting paid, this is a great opportunity for you to practice, for you to pour your passion into something. And then it also gives you more opportunities because other people can see the skills that you have. And again, this is one of the best things that gets him work is doing these spec projects and these passion projects. And so it's, you're refilling your passion, you're practicing, you're doing stuff that you want to do. And then people see that and they want that energy. They want to be a part of it. They see the quality that you're bringing and then they want to hire you too. And so it's a really great cycle that he's in with how he's approaching spec work and doing his own project, but doing a lot of client work that are been feeding in from his spec project. So, you know, always remember, like, we're in this business because we love it and we're creatives and we want to build stuff and we want to make stuff, right? And like, don't just chase that hamster wheel, like do it because you love it and make sure that you're taking time for yourself, to make your own things, to make things that make you really happy, because that's what it's really about.
Passion over paycheck, baby.
Hey,
for sure.
All day.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to ramble, but I just second everything, you know, you said, and Josiah mentioned there, it's a great episode. Definitely check it out. Josiah's an incredible creator. I look up to myself and,
me too.
You guys should check out his work. It's incredible. And I think, you know, it's a great mindset to have, you know, putting, again, short form content is what people want to see. There's no, yep. You don't, I mean, if you want to make the 5-minute short film, go for it, make it, you know, but like, make a bunch of short form content out of that 5-minute piece so you can blast it on social media as well.
What's up, guys? We're back at it with ShareGrid, our sponsor for the show, who we're super excited to have on board because they are the largest camera sharing community on planet Earth, where you can rent or buy cinema gear. So if you've ever been wanting to test out a camera before you buy it, or rent that next cinema camera for your production so you can super impress your client and shoot 8K footage, you gotta go to ShareGrid.com. It's the best and most professional way to rent gear. Or if you're looking to make a little side hustle and make some extra money, you can also rent your gear on ShareGrid.com or sell your gear on ShareGrid.com. It's safe and secure. There's insurance backed by all of the transactions, and it's the camera sharing community that you need to be a part of. So go to ShareGrid.com and get started today for free. You won't regret it. Now let's get back into the episode. No doubt. So we got a couple more here left. Let's get into Nick, where he talks about prospecting for leads and building more sales and clients.
It's all that time that you don't get paid for, where you're just cruising on LinkedIn, looking for, there's a website called Rocket Reach, and mm-hmm. you can find people's emails on there. And like, mm-hmm. just using tools like that, that help you, like you got to be a little detective, you know,
yeah.
like no. you sleuth. Yeah. And so I think that's like, it's fun for me, you know, I like doing it. So it's kind of, I think that's helpful.
Nick's talking about prospecting, finding people that, you know, he could pitch to, building more clients and sales funnels and whatnot. And, and it's something that you could tell that he likes to do. Right. And I believe he was working with like, other people in the company too. And so that was kind of his role in the company was as yep. the company owner and the EP, you know, he was kind of really bringing in the clients and he found a good little area for himself there. Right. And that's also another reason why, like, you might want to partner is because you might have someone like that, that really likes going out and doing the business side of it. Whereas you just want to direct and be creative, et cetera. Right. And so you could bring those skill sets together. And Nick's another phenomenal, documentary filmmaker that is currently, you know, working through long form projects in, I wonder how those pitches went. He was saying that he was going to pitch for some major networks. I wonder how those went. He was pitching major networks and spec ideas and long form content ideas. And just hustling with short form content, selling ideas to pay for those bigger ideas. But the thing is, like, he knows where he wants to go. Right. And he has a very specific customer in mind, and that's how he's able to reach out to these folks. Right. And that's actually where I want to bring us with our final clip with Ryan Snott. Actually, Ryan's not talking this time, talking about finding his ideal client.
Let's go.
So here we go.
Woo. I have an avatar that I built out, but for myself, like, my ideal client is like a director of marketing for a fitness brand, like a mid-tier fitness brand. They might have 5 or less people in their marketing team. They don't have any video in-house, and they're typically spending on, you know, agencies. Maybe they're spending like 100 to 200K on an agency or something that doesn't get them results, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I can come in as a competitive advantage for me I'm smaller, I'm more nimble, I can flex up if I need to hire crew, I can stay small myself if we need to control cost. And I focus on deliverables. And that's really how I build a lot of my content retainers out. Or like, okay, we'll do 3 interviews a month and I can do all those in a half day or a full day. It doesn't really matter to them. And then I can, you know, slice those up, get 3 small videos from each interview plus the full length videos and give them 12 assets every month for a set cost. So a lot of those retainers can range anywhere from like $2,500 a month all the way up to like $15,000 a month.
That dude's on one, bro. Like, you hear that avatar, like, boom, 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 boom.
He's read a few books.
He has, but like, folks, this is a film business. You know, like, we're running a business here, right? Business. And we need to know who we're selling to, who our customer is, so we can go out and find them. I don't want to bring up the analogy again, but when you're fishing, you're throwing worms and you want to catch a shark, you ain't going to catch a shark with worms, bro. That's not how it works, you know? You need to throw some big stuff in there and go right to the spot where the sharks feed, and you need to have everything dialed in to get that shark. You need to have the right reel, the right time of day with the right bait and the right boat. You need to have it all lined up. But you know what? If you do your preparation, you know exactly what you need to do to land that shark, and if you keep trying, you'll get it. And that's where you need to be with your clients, folks.
What else to say?
Go fishing.
Yeah, go fishing.
The sea's big. Tons of people need client these days. Media these days, right? Like, every industry. We're creatives. Let's be creative on how we deliver value, result to our clients. In whatever way it may be, right? Like, yes, we know what to do with turning on the camera and making videos, but we also can shoot photos. We can also do a lot of other things to productize, standardize our service, and to expand our services to build not just a videography company, but a media company that is an asset that we could grow a team with, that we could build sustainable, scalable revenue with, and accomplish some really big goals where you could be on a beach a month or two a year, and your company's still growing. You're checking QuickBooks, and your money's still going up, and you're on the beach drinking Mai Tais, right? Like, that may not be everyone's goals, and I don't want to force those dreams and aspirations on everyone, right? We already talked about it. It's important for you to figure out what you want to do. But for me, that's what I'd want to be doing, right? And that comes with knowing exactly what I want, how to build that team, what it takes to build that team, what clients can satisfy a company like that, how much money I need to bring in to satisfy a company like that, and who are those clients, and what industry, where do they live, is their appetite for media going to satisfy? All these things need to line up. But luckily, you could do your preparation, you could do your research, you could do everything you need to do ahead of time to figure out a game plan and to put that into place and to work hard each day and to take baby steps each day, getting to the next step. Get into the next step. And then one day you'll wake up and be like, shoot, I got a team of 4. Kyle, I got a team of 4 or 5. I got systems in place. You know, things are going. You know, we're making progress, guys. Like, you know what? 2 years ago, you were alone. Now you got 4 or 5. In another 2 years, maybe you'll have 5 or 10. You have 10 or 20. Who knows, right? Like, what you want to be, what kind of goals you want to accomplish, where you want to be. But again, you need to know what that is. And so everything that we say here, it comes back to you figuring out what you want to do, because we don't know where we're going unless you know where you're going, right? We get in the car and we say, where are we going? Like, where are we going to be driving? You got to figure that out. You got to figure out if we're just going to be taking loops around the block, just shooting random videos because that's all we get called up to do, or if we're going to put an address in our GPS. We're going to drive across country and we're going to see everything along the way and arrive at our final point and say, hallelujah, let's go, baby.
Oh, yeah. I don't have much to add, folks. You can do it. Believe in yourself. You're capable. I think, like, reiterating everything from this season and the past seasons, you know, it takes passion, it takes heart, desire, and hard work. And so I think if you're really going to do this, you got to make sure you really want it, and want it for the right reasons, the right intentions, And if so, you're off to a good start. But again, it takes discipline. I think that's one of the biggest things. And with discipline, I mean that, I say that broadly, but more specifically, I mean, like, you got to be consistent. You got to, you know, build out systems, you got to build out processes, you got to do things that you don't necessarily want to do, but are important and beneficial, like your business, or for your business, excuse me, like getting QuickBooks, keeping track of your expenses, keeping track of your mileage, using things like call sheets, sending out emails, using contracts, be professional. Like, all these things matter. And the more disciplined you are about it, the more it's going to pay off for you and your business in the long run. Lastly, with that, you know, I love you guys, and looking forward to the future of the podcast and helping you guys out.
Yep, I'm right there with you, man. So, what do you say? We wrap up season 3 of Learn Videography.
Let's wrap it up,
ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for hanging with us for another season of Learn Videography. We started this in 2020, I think 2019. And it's come a long way. We're really happy and proud of what we've accomplished. We're, of course, the number one rated video Learn Videography podcast, or videography podcast on iTunes and Spotify. But we got there because of you guys, for helping us, reviewing us, listening to us. Again, let us know how we could help in these further seasons. Let us know what we could talk about. Leave us comments on Instagram, TikTok. Leave us reviews on Apple Podcasts. DM us, email us, hit us up, get into Jump Studios, systematize your business, take that next step. It's $10 a month, folks. Holy smokes. Like, invoicing, project management, emailing, advanced professional video review and delivery. You can't afford $10 a month to amp your game to the next level. We gotta talk. We got bigger things going on here. But, you know, catch us in Jump Studios. Yeah. Catch us all around. You know how to reach us. Find Kyle on Instagram, on TikTok at CalVisuals. Find myself at JJ Englert, Instagram, TikTok. We appreciate y'all. We hope you guys stay safe. Keep grinding. Stay determined. Keep working hard. And exactly, and just know where you're going. Know where you're going. Set small goals for yourself. Check them off one at a time. Take those baby steps until you arrive to a bigger goal. Reevaluate, give yourself next goals, and you could do it. We'll catch you whenever we catch you on Learn Videography. Peace.
Peace.